I'm reminded of times past when we were a little less organized, and Kathy and I would be up here, and we would look at each other and nod who's going next. So I wasn't sure it was my turn, but I'm happy to be here. My name is Bruce Myers. I'm a retired computer science professor from Austin Peay, and I'm a lay speaker, a lay servant, I should say, in the United Methodist Church. I want to take just a second to explain that. The lay servant role is a role that we have in the United Methodist Church. It's been around forever, I guess. When you become a lay servant, you're able to serve in your own church, perhaps by preaching or speaking or leading a class or other things, but you also become eligible, or if you choose to go to other churches and speak. And one thing that we do as lay servants is we often do go, especially to smaller churches, and fill in for the pastor when they're ill or otherwise away. Larry Newton here in our church is an outstanding lay speaker, very busy in our district here. I want to thank him for his service especially. And I want to tell you all that if this is something that might interest you, we have training classes that you go through, and there's one coming up pretty soon, a beginning class. The classes are free except for the cost of your book, and they're online, so you don't have to go anywhere. If this is of any interest to anyone, please contact me through the church, and I would be very happy. It'd be very quick to get you signed up. I guess you can see by now that what I really did was just kind of do a commercial here, I hope that doesn't get me in too much trouble. But lay servant ministry has blessed me. It's my passion. I am the coordinator for the lay servant ministry in the Red River District, and so I'm very happy when I'm asked to be up here and to speak. Let's begin this morning with our scripture. Our scripture is taken from Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 7 to 13. I want to say as we begin here, Pastor Stephen planned this series that we're in the middle of long before he knew he was going to be out, and we're carrying on with that series. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no bags, and no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals but not to put on two shirts. He said, "Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. If a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Oh, Lord our God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, we're in the middle of this series, sermon series, that's entitled, What's Next? Dreaming Bigger Than Ourselves. And we had several guest preachers. The first couple, I think, finished the previous sermon series. And here at Hilldale, we started, I believe, when Vin Walkup was here with this series. I just want to say we know that we're part of a strong, vibrant church, and you can see how strong the church is by the way we've just kept going without slowing down while we've been without Pastor Stephen. And it's such good news that we can hear that he's coming back. Much credit certainly goes to our staff, and those that are on vacation certainly deserve it. They always go above and beyond. But in this series, we want to continue to look ahead, and we want to dream about what our church can become. Just to mention the other sermons in the series, Reverend Vin Walkup was here, and he had a message entitled Opening Doors Wide, as he talked about the early history of our church and the transition to becoming inclusive and missional. And he asked us to continue to open our doors wider and wider as we dream bigger than ourselves. And then we had Jefferson Furtado, and he talked to us about believing bigger, using the scripture from Ezekiel. Remember about the dry bones, and he spoke about our call and how we can always reach beyond what we can see, what we see in our lives, and how God can change our lives, enabling us to accomplish things that we never even dreamed of. And then just last week, we had Nick Byard Chrisahan, who spoke about having courage, even in difficult situations, using the example of the demoniac. And remember, Nick had some wild man pictures. Did you all see those? And he showed us that doing good comes with risk. And he used Jesus as an example. He says that courage is needed if we are to dream bigger. Now, I know all of those pastors fairly well through my work in the District Methodist Church. And I appreciate not only those, but the ones that came before and took their time away from their churches to be here and share with us. It means so much. And I think it shows you the Methodist Church is truly connected. We refer to it as the connection, and that's really what it is, as we share so much with each other. Okay, so those were the three previous sessions, so what's next? Well, that's what the title says. Open doors, believe we can accomplish beyond our dreams, show courage. So what about me? What am I supposed to say? Well, my message today is that all of those things, we can do them. We are empowered. And that is the title of the message provided in the outline by Pastor Stephen as he put all of this together. So, and we're going to look at this scripture that I read. I'm going to ask you first, have you taught someone something sometime? Have you ever taught someone how to use a cell phone? Or maybe how to use a computer, or taught someone how to drive. How many have taught someone how to drive? I'm just curious. And a lot of us have. Well, at some point when you teach someone, you reach the time when you have to say, now you try it. Do it yourself. But at first you let them try it kind of where you're still kind of close around. But eventually the time comes when the student must do whatever the task is on their own. You're not there, or you're not in the car with them. Some anxious times, right? I'm sure I taught four people how to drive, and I'm sure that many of you have those same feelings. You hope to, they go on their first trip, but not too far and not too long, so you'll know they're safe. Well, teaching someone a new skill or a technique often allows them to improve in some way. They get a better job, they go to a different lifestyle, and you have empowered that person. You've given them the necessary means to work or live at a different and better level permanently. One example that we've seen in recent times on this, and I had one or two of my students while I was still work on a project related to this, and this was the teaching of our elderly folks, the folks that are limited in assisted living or whatever, but they went out and taught them how to use their cell phones or computers to collaborate online, to be able to hear our church services. And I know the student that I had taught his grandfather how to do this, how to use the computer and how to be online. And it was such a rewarding experience. This truly took these people to a new level where their quality of life, the quality of what they could do, improved. They were empowered. Empowering an individual comes with great rewards for anyone who does that. And today we want to suggest that our relationship with Jesus Christ empowers each of us to carry out his plan for our lives. Now, back to the scripture, Jesus had taught the disciples both by example and by direct instruction how to do the things that he sent them out to do. It appears from what we read in our commentaries that he met with each pair one at a time, giving them instructions and direction. He sent them as groups of two, of course, for safety concerns and mutual support, but also we read that that satisfied Old Testament law where it says you must have two witnesses together for a testimony. Now, he knew that the disciples would need to carry on this work that he had started, and he wanted to give them a chance to try it on their own, just like teaching someone a particular task. They had to go out on their own. But he simplified the task for them somewhat, and we could take this apart a lot more than I'm going to, where he said, take nothing for the journey, stay in one place, not moving around. And he did this not only for simplicity, but to give them a chance to experience in real life the situations that they could face later. He gave them the power, as it said, over unclean spirits, and he otherwise prepared them to do what they had only watched him do before. They were also prepared by having followed him in his ministry for some time. When we say that they are empowered, we mean not only had they been given instructions, but they've been given full authority to do what was necessary. It's one thing to teach, but it's also to empower. Also more to empower someone to do this. And of course, he knew and expected that they would succeed. And they were prepared. They had the opportunity to go forward on their own. Now, I can say that it's sometimes pretty frightening. You're empowered, but now you're on your own. Now it's you up here speaking, or you doing whatever your job might be. When I received training to become a lay servant, I was empowered when I was first allowed to preach in a worship service. I was pretty scared also. In my work at the university, I always tried to delegate without micromanaging. I empowered people to do their work without going back and telling them how to do it. I know many of you here know how important that is. Well, in this sermon series, we're invited to look at ourselves and our church and to dream about what could happen next. What can we do? And my message to you is that each of us is already empowered to accomplish whatever task God has set before us. We were empowered when we first said yes to Jesus Christ, whenever that was. And we continue to be empowered by doing what we're doing today, being in worship or praying or reading our scripture. We are not limited. I would have never imagined myself as a lay servant. I signed up for the training and then tried to skip it, as some people here know, and I got caught. And that story is old enough to maybe some of you haven't heard it recently, but that's the details are for another day. But it's the most meaningful experience I had ever, speaking in many churches as I have, and being able to empower others to speak, and some to continue their training and go on into the ministry. Some of our lay servants eventually become supply pastors. We just had one do that this last year, and of course that's very exciting to me, and eventually they go to other training and they do pastor churches. But God prepares us for whatever task that he leads us to do. It's been my privilege over the years to encourage and to help to empower others in many areas. I always was able to encourage students in their job searches and other things, as well as people in their lay servant activities. I serve on the district committee on ministry in the Red River District, and we are the group that interviews the pastors and more or less evaluate them, and that's always been very rewarding. When I was at the university, I was known for having list of names. And some of you all were there when I was there, so I have to be careful. Some of those lists were only mental, others were written down, and some of them it wasn't good to be on, right? But I had other lists of people and things I could imagine them doing. And I'd still, in my life, I spend a lot of time thinking what someone could go forward to do, what they could become, what office they could run for, what job they could have. That means a whole lot to me. I dream about these people taking their next steps in their service. And I want to say, and I didn't know, of course, who would be here, but there are some of you all on a few of my list. I have seen lots of plans that we could have. Jay Addington, who is a good friend of mine, once a member of this church, had a term that he used that was called the gentle nudge. Some of you remember Jay, and you may have been nudged in various ways. He was gentle, but he was persistent. He gave a lot of reminders. Jay invited me to go on the walk to Emmaus at one time, and eventually I went, and I was blessed, thanks to his continued gentle nudges. And I'm always excited, and there's some of you around, I'm nudging for various things even right now, and you know what I'm talking about, but I get very excited when I can help someone to move and take the next step. Each of us can encourage others, and we can also respond to the encouragement. Now, near the end of this reading, we learn that it says they went out and proclaim that people should change their hearts and lives. And they cast out many demons and anointed many sick and healed them. So it seems like each pair had a successful trip. That we like to, when you come back from one of those trips, probably you would have what we call a debriefing session. Wouldn't it have been interesting to hear what all they could talk about and what they may have encountered, who was kind to them, who wasn't, or whatever may have taken place? There were lots of stories to share, and I'm sure they were very grateful for their opportunities. Now, we ourselves have had and will continue to have many opportunities to serve others through Jesus Christ. There are many opportunities right here in our church. You know, we've talked about the different programs and so on during announcements, but in terms of empowering, in the fuel program, I think we can empower you in about 1 minute to fill fuel bags. It won't take us very long to teach you how to do that. I'm sure Miss Amy can empower you to do lots of work with Operation Christmas Child. So those opportunities to serve are not too far from here. But our message today is that God will always prepare us for these tasks. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. And like the disciples, we should be grateful. Sometimes, and I usually like to mention this, we don't always remember to thank God for being with us as we work through our issues and concerns that we have in life. I had that brought home to me in a very real way a few years ago, and the issue I faced was a financial situation, and it was something that was very complex, and it seemed like there was no solution. Well, you know, I worked that out, and then I kept saying, well, I got that fixed, but did I say, thank God he was right there with me? I don't think I did. I don't think I realized that. There are so many things that we deal with. They may be unpleasant, complicated. We need to thank him for what he does for us. I have a good friend named Margaret Davis, and Margaret works for Progressive Directions, where she works with intellectually challenged folks, and she works to help them find simple jobs, jobs they can do, very, very important job that she has. And in talking about that one day, she said this: it's more important to be grateful than great. It's more important to be grateful than great. And that I've heard some other people who heard her keep repeating this. So I think that's really something. We need to be grateful. Not only are we enabled, not only are we empowered, but we need to be grateful for that. We need to keep God with us in all that we're doing. Well, as I wrap this up today, I invite you to think about what's next for you. We're talking about what's next. What's next for you in your walk with Jesus Christ? As I said earlier, I'm always dreaming. I'm looking at new ideas for ministries, maybe for the church, maybe something else. And I hope you continue to do that. Remember that God challenges you and empowers you. Near the end of his ministry, Jesus told us, this is very familiar, but I think it's sometimes useful to read the familiar passages because they do have new meaning. But he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Go and make disciples. That is our charge. May we live at this scripture according to God's call on our lives. Amen.